So our work with the text is to put us in front of the proprium, for one thing, and the Lord on the other side. And that is where we find equilibrium. That is where we find balance and a new sense of self. Because the issue for us in the process, what we keep falling into is identifying with what's flowing in as ourself. And that's always the struggle. And so working with the text gets us to see more and more the activity of the proprium, but to see it in the context of the whole process. And that gives us a way of reframing things so that the states that would overwhelm us previously begin to become moderated, and we become more and more free, which is what the Lord is seeking to do, is to bring us into a state of heavenly freedom. And that involves being in the full acceptance that what truths teach concerning the proprium is actually true. And I say that because what we see in religious and spiritual contexts often is people striving to be good, to make the proprium better as a means of being accepted by the Lord. And of course, that's an impossible task. You can't make the infernal proprium anything other than it is. And it's through coming into an acceptance of what truths teach concerning it that actually frees us from it or from its influence. So it's not about becoming good. The Lord alone is good. What we are asked to do is to do good. And there's a wide definition to that. But in logopraxis, to do good is to take hold of the text, to take hold of a principle and use truths for the purpose for which they were given, which is to reflect and acknowledge, and through that process shun evils as sins against the Lord. And that is doing good, or that's the good that is possible when we use truths in that way. That's what this work really is about. The more we see what the Lord isn't, the more we appreciate what the Lord is, and that's what frees the mind. Again, it's come up a few times, but 158 really was about the importance of the proprium, or how the proprium can be seen in the light of inner work. Not something to condemn ourselves about, because we are not that. We may identify with it, but we are not that. And what this work does is it loosens our attachment to what isn't us. And that's what really frees us. And then there's this whole, in 158, it just lays out these four kind of different states or principles, I guess, that are really part and parcel of how the Lord uses the proprium to draw us to himself. It's just a whole new paradigm, right? A whole new way of holding it. So it's important in that sense. So we can reframe difficult states in terms of a ongoing process. The idea that we can't regenerate without being put into connection with the hells. That freedom also involves seeing what isn't the Lord. That's part of it as well. And that these spirits are organized in such a way that we are gently led to something that is less toxic, and gradually move toward a stronger angelic influence over our thoughts and affections. And I was reminded that the highest angels are most aware of their proprium and its capabilities. So that's what makes them the highest angels. So coming to see our proprium at this level of life is a good. Actually, that's what the Lord is leading and directing us to come to see, so that we can be free of it. So again, in logopraxis, the aphorism of the freeing is in the seeing stands there. Most people think of angels as being in this perfect state constantly, but what we see here is that's just not possible if they're to have a life, an experience of being alive. So there has to be alternations and fluctuations of state. Like I really highlighted that last statement, for to them it is heaven to be withheld from their proprium, And we often, you know, like there's this, well, why doesn't the Lord just hold us back from our opprobrium, you know, like, but the process, we have to see what it is we have to have removed in order to be in heaven. And of course, a state of heaven is a moving, it's a fluctuating, it's a relative state. So these shifts and changes have to occur because what we experience as heaven in one particular state can't remain forever. It has to shift because we have to grow. So even at this level of life, we're entering into a deeper and greater understanding of how the Lord works. And that creates more joy and excitement. And so the truths we are in now, which is an understanding of truth, right? It's our understanding of it, not truth as it is in itself, because no one but the Lord is in that. So there has to be a progression, and we won't move on unless we're dissatisfied with where we are. And so those fluctuations of state have to occur if we are to move into a deeper sense of the presence of the Lord, which is what heaven is, because that is the removal of the proprial aspects being dominant. So spiritual life and growth and development, whether it's at this level of life or after the body is put off, is always about removing what obscures the Lord so that he can be more fully present for us. And that's heaven.